You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Cubs baseball today with Kerry Muscat, MLB.com Cubs reporter. And Kerry, thanks for the time. We're speaking here on Monday, March 14th, opening day just about 3 weeks away. And on this Monday, Kerry, it is cut day for most teams around the bigs, and the Cubs no exception. Standard procedure for the Cubs for the most part, or any surprises at all in that mix?
No, there weren't any surprises. They trimmed seven guys, including one very talented young pitcher, Dwayne Underwood, who's, I think, ranked in the top 10 on MLB's list of top 30 Cubs prospects. Underwood's really good. He did not pitch in any of the Cactus League games. A little bit of tightness in his right elbow, but it's nothing to worry about. They knew that he wasn't going to break with the big league team. They just wanted him to have the experience of being in big league camp and also to work with pitching coach Chris Bosio and get him on the right track and get the right message in his head going into the season.
And what is Underwood's projection as far as maybe arriving in the major leagues? We talking a season or two? How long?
2017 is the earliest. Next year is the earliest, you know. But he's had some injury problems, so they're going to be careful with him. So I think that's the big thing, is they're just going to be patient. But he and our right-hander, Pierce Johnson, are two of their top pitching prospects who fans should keep an eye on.
And, of course, the Cubs have been rich beyond rich in the position player department with prospects in recent years, and now it's starting to translate onto the mound as well. Underwood, one of those guys that gives the Cubs an even brighter future. Talking about the here and now, Kerry, in terms of the pitching staff, Kyle Hendricks looked very impressive on Sunday. Struck out five over four innings of one-hit ball. In your eyes, did that performance by Hendricks kind of nail down that final spot in the starting rotation?
Well, I think, in honesty, the Cubs have known their starting five pitchers really coming into camp with it being Arrieta, Lester, Lackey, Hamill, and Hendricks. And really it was, you know, if one of them burped or had a blip, that would be the only reason that they might change. Or if somebody like Adam Warren was just throwing lights out. They don't want to say who the five are yet officially because, you know, it's not really as the word that Joe Maddon likes to use is disingenuous. He said it wouldn't really be fair to people like Trevor Cahill and Adam Warren and Travis Wood and Clayton Richard, who are all getting stretched out a little bit and who might get a chance to start. But realistically, the five are set. What's been interesting with Kyle Hendricks is that he's been striking out a lot of guys, and that's just not what he does. He's usually a ground ball pitcher, very efficient that way, and he's even a little surprised at all the K's this spring. But if the changeup is working, then that's a good thing.
And I know baseball is a game of strange and quirky statistics, and the Cubs so close to having what I believe would have been the first rotation in baseball history where every starter had the same first letter of their first name. You're talking Jake Arrieta, John Lester, John Lackey, Jason Hamill. Any other J's in this mix that could round out the five, or is that it?
I didn't quite think of it that way. I know we have to be careful whenever we talk to Joe Maddon, another J, about John Lester and John Lackey to make sure we get the right John mentioned. But, no, I didn't. I'm looking at my list here on the roster. There are some other pitchers, but they're not factors here.
No J's. Never mind. Okay.
No,
well,
sorry.
Four out of five is not bad to have an 80% J starting rotation. Not too shabby. And, of course, K is just one letter off. So the Cubs got that going for them. But Hendricks looks to be that number five starter. And to talk about two of the guys at the top of that staff, obviously Jake Arrieta, John Lester. Interesting to note that each of their next starts are going to be against minor league competition. Is there anything to read into this or not really?
No, it's more just to give these guys a chance to pitch in a controlled situation. Arrieta talked about it today, as a matter of fact, after his outing. You know, they want him to throw maybe 13 to 15 pitches per inning, and what they can do is control it so that he'll do 13 to 15, and then let's say, you know, it's in the middle of a count or something, he can sit down, they can have somebody else pitch, and then he can go back out. It's just really a matter of just controlling it, letting him work on stuff, maybe creating situations, since it's a minor league game, they might, you know, in the later innings, suddenly put a runner on second or a runner on first so they can get used to having a guy on base. It's more that aspect of it. And also there's a little bit just kind of, you know, shielding these pitchers from other teams. I mean, not that Arrieta is going to be facing the Indians unless it's, you know, interleague play or World Series play at this particular time, but that would have been his next start on Saturday. Lester was scheduled to face the Padres on Tuesday, and instead he will pitch in the minor league game. And just, again, just it's just control. It's just, you know, this way we can do what we want to do kind of thing.
And, Carrie, are you surprised even a little bit that more teams don't employ the strategy where, you know, clearly Joe Maddon doesn't want to tip his hand too much and he wants to shield, as you said, his top two guys, Lester and Arrieta, from the major league competition they're going to face in a couple of weeks? Is this kind of outside the box thinking by the Cubs, or is this something that you think other teams should employ?
No, actually, I don't think it is outside the box. I think, as a matter of fact, the White Sox are doing that with Chris Sale, from what I understand, on the other side of the valley over in Glendale. And I think actually quite a few teams do this. To me, it makes sense. I mean, the Cubs have already, for example, the Cubs have faced the Reds twice. They're going to face them one more time this spring. Why would you want, you know, let's say, for example, one of your setup pitchers, why would you want Justin Grimm to face the Reds three times down here so that they maybe can pick up something? You know, so there's teams are always looking for the competitive edge. I think a lot of teams do this. So it's the same reason, you know, that fans might see a closer pitching early in the game just because they want him to face a little better competition than the extras that are brought in at the end of the game.
Yeah, always a chess match.
Always looking for an edge.
Yeah, absolutely. Always looking for an edge. Always a chess match, even here in the middle of March when games do not count. Now, Carrie, I think a lot of people would forget this now, even the most ardent Cubs fans, but the Cubs' best pitcher in the first half of last season, not Arrieta, not Lester, it was Jason Hammel. He had a 2.86 ERA. The second half, though, a completely different story, a 5.10 ERA. It nearly doubled. Now, he's looked terrific this spring. What gives Joe Maddon and what gives the team confidence that he's going to not experience a second half letdown this season like he did last year?
Well, I think a lot of credit goes to Jason Hammel because he addressed that this offseason. He devoted himself to a new workout program, worked a lot on his core and strengthening his legs. The numbers last year were tilted because he had a leg injury right around the All-Star break, and he never quite got his legs under him, so to speak. And it really affected his delivery. In his last spring outing here, he said it was the first time where he really felt like he felt strong and he felt everything was in line and he felt really good. So that's really encouraging. He's been a different pitcher this camp just because of, you know, the way he feels about himself, the way he feels physically. He also did a lot of sort of, reflecting and worked mental skills as well, you know, just to – It's not, I don't want to do it like the Saturday Night Live skit where, you know, the guy's looking
daily
in the mirror saying, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, whatever that is, you know, people like me. But it was a little bit of that, you know, that he had to, you know, look at himself and say, hey, I can do this. I'm a big league pitcher. And I think it's paid off. Whatever he did this offseason, it's paid off. And he's been very confident, and it's showed in his outings.
I'm smart enough, I'm strong enough, and doggone it, I'm a good pitcher. Kind of the daily affirmation,
yeah,
I think,
doggone
right?
Yeah, doggone it, people like me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, doggone it, people like me, exactly. Well, whatever he's doing, it's working because he's looked terrific this spring, and if he can put together two solid halves instead of just the first half, more power to the Cubs there, and what a rotation that is looking like. Carrie, shifting gears now, another big storyline for the Cubs thus far has been trying to find positions for two of their big bats, in particular Kyle Schwarber learning the ropes in the outfield. And Javier Baez, I think, has done everything but sell cotton candy. He's played everywhere, infield, outfield, you name it. Give us the latest updates on those two and where you think they could stick in terms of defense.
Well, Schwarber has looked pretty good in left field. He made a play on Sunday. We were joking with him, you know, that he was going to go through the wall, and I don't doubt that Schwarber would go through the wall for one of these Cubs players. But Schwarber has been in left field. That seems to be the spot they'll put him in. He's also been catching down here this spring. I'm not sure how much more he will catch, only because he had a little bit of a knee problem, and I know they don't want to aggravate that. And it was just something he felt on a throw. It wasn't serious. It's just a minor thing, but, you know, they're very precautionary is the key word down here. As far as Javi Baez, it's just a matter of really his situation is a little different in that they're trying to expose him to different places, and then Joe can use him as a defensive sub late in games. That's kind of the idea behind that. And he's been just incredible defensively. He made a play Saturday night playing first base that not a lot of players can do. And then he made a play Sunday when he was playing second base that not a lot of players can do. Mann was saying that he kind of compared it. He said the only other player he thought could make this kind of off-balance throw was Robinson Cano, which is pretty high praise. But Javi's looked very good everywhere. And part of the approach with Javi is that maybe by having him think about situations and think about the defense and think about all the nuances of playing first and second and short in the outfield, that it might help him with his offense. But the kid's got power. It's just the strikeouts are bad, and they're trying to figure out a way to get him a little more relaxed at the plate.
And, yeah, Javi Baez could become that Swiss Army knife, if you will, that every team needs, especially during the course of a grueling 162-game season. And for the Cubs, it's looking like the postseason, too. A guy that can get out there and play multiple positions. Maybe Baez is going to be that guy for the Cubs in 2016. Great stuff, as always, from Cubs reporter Kerry Muscat. Kerry, we thank you for the time. We'll do it again right back here next week. This is Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.